Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Welcome, Sandy, Melissa, Erwin, and in person, Henry and Toby. It's good to have you all with us in person on Zoom. And thank God this week I had a little bit more time to do my homework. So here's the game plan. This week, we're going to talk about the Isser of Lo Yilbash, which is the prohibition basically for cross-dressing. But not just cross-dressing necessarily, but it might even have wider implications. And I'll show you how it comes up in the context of the Gemara. But for instance, I was looking into it today. So we're going to, God willing, next week, talk about the laws of shavers, the lift and cut shavers, the dual blades. I don't want to keep you on a cliffhanger until next week. So I promised I would come back with some material on shavers this time. So let me give you a very brief overview of what the issue at hand is, and then Lo Yilbash will be our main issue for today. The main chakira, there is a dichotomy, so we're on 20b toward the time. So the main question that comes when it comes to shaving is as follows. Next week, we're going to learn on Chaf Aleph Amin Aleph on 21a that one is not allowed to shave with a razor, but one's allowed to shave with Misparayim. So, and you're not supposed to do a Gila Sheyish Bo Hashchasa. You don't want to be destroying the hair. So here's the question. What about a shaver? You see, a shaver is not scissors, nor is it necessarily a razor. So the main chakira, and we're not going to go further beyond this, but just to think about it, is the issue when it comes to razor, is the issue of hashchasa doing a process, a maisa that looks like a maisa of using a razor? Or is the issue the totsah, the result? If the issue is the result, then our shavers basically give you a close enough of a shave that it's hard to argue that it's distinct from a razor from a halakhic standpoint. Some do make that argument, but the general understanding is if you assume it's the totsah that's the issue, then you're getting a similar totsah, a similar result that a razor would provide. However, if it's about the process, it's about the deed, the maisa, not the totsah. So the way shavers work, my understanding is that there's usually two blades. There's one that kind of like gets into position behind the screen, and another blade comes and cuts it. That mimics closer to scissors. Now, what about the lift and cut? Some would posit that it's also similar to scissors. Some would say not. Because one lifts it up and then it gets cut with one blade only. So if it gets cut one blade only, maybe that's more similar to a razor. So God willing, I hope to elaborate a little bit more on these dinim next week because the Gemara that this all emanates from is actually next week's Gemara. But I didn't want to keep you on a cliffhanger. I promised I would come back with something. So here are the spoils for more. Kamotze Shalol Rav. And we'll be talking about Lo Yilbash this week.
It seems to be about scissors and pitfalls and
yeah. So next,
I'm saying, but we didn't get to that yet.
21. We did not get to 21. But in the Mishnah, we already started. The Gemara elaborates on the Mishnah. The Mishnah we talked about shaving one's beard, and we had it. People were asking questions last week, and I said I would come back to explain the sugya next time. So I'm just giving a general understanding because everybody wanted to know. But yes, we will delve more into it next week on that. So I want to start off with a question. See now from Chashuki Chemin, from our good friend Rose Zilberstein. There is an Isser that we're going to learn about today called Lo Yilvash Gever Simlas Isha, that a man shall not wear the clothing of a woman. So here's this question. I'll read it for you. Shayla.
You have either, I guess you deal with Israeli spies or men who are in the army, and for whatever their operation is, maybe they're in enemy territory. It's not in the Gemara. This is a Silverstein.
No, I don't understand where it's. I'm going to explain. This is the opener. This is the opener. I want to get you excited about what you're going to see in the Gemara today. So I want to give you the case first. I'm going to give you the question, We're going to go through the Gemara, and then we'll give you the answer. You can see what you think of the answer while we're going through. Yeah. So you have these soldiers who were so they needed to disguise themselves as women. Mitam pikuach nefesh. They're on a military operation. They need to save themselves. They're behind enemy lines. Mutterlan lavor al iser lo yilbash gerisimas isha. So of course, pikuach nefesh will be docha the iser of cross dressing. Kumakoli suri Torah hani docha pikuach nefesh. No chiddush there. The question only is. The Yeshla is stopping. Mahadin Kasher Ish Tzava Yodea Shia Chayev Yos Meufark Ish B'Yom Shabbos Kodesh. Let's say, in order to complete the disguise, he needs to put on makeup as well. The Yeshla Efshirs this Barba Arab Shabbos. And assume the kind of makeup he's using is something that'd be usher to put on Shabbos. I'm not expert in all different kinds of makeups, but there's those that are problematic, those that aren't. So the Yeshua Shiz Barbar Shabbos, he has the ability to put on this makeup before Shabbos. Haim Yeshua Lasas Kankedil Noachil Shabbos before, or Shem Yeshua Hamtin Shigaz Manchibo Yemukli Lasas Kane, and the Hakkas Maisa Ver Shalo Yilbash. The tension is as follows. Do I push off the Isser of Lo Yilbash to when I actually need it? Meaning, it's right now, I don't need to disguise myself. But on Shabbos, during this operation, or whatever the circumstances are, I need to disguise myself. The thing is, if I push off violating the Isser of Lo Yilbash, I'm also putting myself in a position where I'm making myself be Mechal Shabbos, where I have to be Mechal Shabbos by putting on this prohibited makeup on Shabbos. So the question is, do I try to minimize the amount of time I'm filing little yilbash, but would lead me to put it on Shabbos? Or do I put it on earlier than I need it? I'm not even in the state of pikuach nefesh at this point. But because I know I'm going to have to put it on Shabbos, I'd rather extend the isser of little yilbash even before I'm in harm's way in order to avoid violating Shabbos. So that's the halachic question I want you to think about. And you'll see where Lo Yilbash comes up in the context of the Gemara. And now the way it comes up in the Gemara, by the way, I want to share with you, I don't have it with me, Rabbeinu Bechaye, there's a Machlokas Rishonim. I know I'm giving a lot of background before we jump in the Gemara. The Gemara is pretty straightforward. It won't take long. The question is, why do we have these prohibitions of men taking a razor and shaving off their entire beard? We know the issue, so last time we spent all our time talking about the isser of making a karcha, making a bald spot, and using a dilapidating cream is also problematic there. But for one's beard, actually, we'll get to it. It's not necessarily an issue with a beard. There's actually a question where Salvage used to have a goatee. So I was reading an article from a Gill student in Torah Musings where he's like, yeah, you know, if anyone knows the answer, I'd love to know, like, Salvage, like, how did he keep his goatee? Did he use dilapidating cream? Did he use some sort of shaver? Like, what did he do? So it'd be interesting to know how he maintained it. Now, what's the issue of using a razor and shaving off one's beard? Some say the Rambam in particular, Ibn Ezra, they tell us that's of like Avodah Zarah, the priests back then in particular, they would shave themselves off. And also especially here at the sideburns. But one of the issues, and this is what Rabbi Bechaye raises, is that it's like Lo Yilbash. It's men copying women and being more feminine. And I was reading this great article. He's a bit of a heretic, but he puts out good material. Dr. Zev Farber, and Torah.com. So he quoted from this commentary called, I think, the Continental Commentary. It sounded good to me, the Continental Breakfast. The Continental Commentary. So in there, he says, like, it's in ancient Greece, what they would do is when you conquered an area, the way you humiliate the previous leaders was by clipping off their beards. That was basically emasculating a person. And in certain pagan temples, they would actually give their beards as offerings because beards represented vitality. And to give your beard to the temple was like a karban instead of yourself. And by the way, that's how the whole Shetel controversy happened with the wigs that came from, I think, India, because women would give their hair and donate it to the temples. So there's this whole controversy about wigs that came from India or something. Are they considered an accessory to Avodah Zarah? The obvious right to Avodah Zarah. That's all by way of introduction, because I know there were a lot of questions that came up last time, and I wasn't ready to answer them, so I did my homework. Here you are. Enjoy. Now I'll do the Gemara. Okay. Let's see. All right, let's go forward. So we are on the 6th line, the last word at the end of the line, Vikama. So again, this is just purely to orient ourselves. Our Mishnah said it in the first line. I'll just read out loud. First, it's talking about Hakori Karcha Barosho, one who makes a bolt spot on their head in order to mourn the dead. We're going to finish talking about this first part of the Mishnah, which is making a bolt spot on one's head. Then this is all going to happen today. We're going to be talking about the issue of one being Makif Pas Rosho, one removing their payas, their sideburn area, this whole area. And then talking about someone destroying their beard, and also Asorei Tzrita Acha, someone who lacerates themselves for the dead. So first we'll finish Karcha, and the Gemara will go in order. So, V'kamashir Karcha. How much hair do I need to pull out in order to violate the Isser of making a bold spot due to the death of someone? Two opinions. Rafuno Merkadeshir Me Rosho, enough that one can actually see a bald spot on the head. If I pull out only a few hairs, you wouldn't see a bald spot. Rav Yochanan Omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Kigris, a bean size. So where else in Halacha do we see a sheer gris very classically? Sheer gris, anyone know? In Hilchos Nida. So when you're dealing with a woman comes in and she says, oh, on my underwear I saw a drop of blood. So if it is smaller than a sheer gris, then it doesn't get off the ground. It's not a kesem. Now, how big is a sheer gris? You look in the classic Svarim, it's a penny, basically. I think 19 centimeters is a penny's diameter. So basically, all you need is a penny. And if it's not bigger than a penny, then you're fine. So that's where gris comes up very, very famously. But it comes up here as well. So if you remove enough that it'd be a sheer gris, now how you measure that precisely, I'm not quite sure, that would violate the Isser of bolding oneself. And Kitanoyan, this is actually recorded. Oh, so by the way, what was I going to point out? No, okay. So this is a Machlokis Tanoim, Kitanoy, Kamashir Karcha, Kigris, Acher Momrim, Kadeshir Me Rosho. So this is actually recorded as a Machlokis Tanoim. The two opinions are either you see the bald spot or it's the size of a bean.
What if there's a bald spot there, but it's got like a pomo? And I'm not being facetious. Like, what if it's there, but you can't see it because you've got a lot of other hair?
So I think this is a general question of what's called simen or siba, right? When we give this measurement, is it that having the bald spot's the issue, or I would say here, it's rather a simen. Once you can see a bald spot, that indicates that you removed enough hair to violate the Isser. Even if you take your hair and cover it over, you'd still violate because we're just quantifying what the shear is to violate the Isser. So, you know, if you wear a hat, it's not going to help either. Okay. Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, pligi bat tfasa tani. Rav Yehuda says, actually, it's a three-way machlokis, and I'm going to present a third opinion momentarily. So chad omer grit kigritz v'chad omer kadeshi yirmei rosho. The first two opinions, one says a sheer gris, that's a bean size. The other one says enough that you can see the head. And now the third opinion that he's introducing to us, v'chad omer kishtei saros, literally just, it's interesting, it says kishtei saros, but later on it just says shtei saros. Two hairs, you remove two hairs, that's enough to violate the Isser. Where else do we see two hairs? We'll see in Hilchos Shabbos momentarily. But then, just one moment before we get to Hilchos Shabbos, the ikot demapik shtei saros uma'ayil b'chadasha. There's some who have a different version of this machlokes. They say there is no position that advocated two hairs. Rather, the third opinion was, instead of a bean size, adasha, the size of a lentil. Again, I don't know precise a gris. I know offhand how much that is the diameter. I don't know how much. Right. So I just don't know what the what that would be precisely. But yes, as Toby said, it would be smaller, presumably. And how do you remember this? So the way one remembers this is like a very convoluted way to remember, because you have to know these halachos to remember. You gotta love this. You're gonna love this. So we know that there's something called tsaras, right? You got a tsaras affliction. So apparently for tsaras, if you have this michya, you have enough living skin, enough healthy skin that's in the middle of the baharis, which is a form of tsaras, that's actually a pretty bad indicator. I think the logic, my understanding is that if there's no living skin in the middle, no healthy skin, then it's just, you know, it's like a pestilence of some sort that you got. It's some sort of affliction. But the fact that you have this like unnatural phenomenon that you have tsaras and in the middle you have okay skin right in the middle of that tsaras, that's like an unnatural phenomenon which indicates that it's tsaras. So why do we bring this in? Because you might forget to remember that what shita do we replace with a lentil? The shita that says two hairs. You might actually think to mix it up and take out grist and replace grist with adasha. Therefore, they say, if you want to remember, baharis ke grist, the amount of a baharis is a grist, and a michya is an adasha. And right, so as Toby pointed out, it's smaller because it would have to be smaller to fit inside the grist. So that's just a mnemonic that the rabbis gave us to remember this. But honestly, it might be harder to remember it because you have to actually know the tsaras halakhas to remember it. So, what was that?
From the guy.
Nagayim. I thought you said Nagayim. Yes, from Nagayim, yes. Right, it gives us the citation, Nagayim, Perikvav, Mishnah base. Okay, let's move forward. Tana, Hanota Mali Pi Hazug B'Shabbos Chai. Someone who, now this is talking about Hilchos Shabbos now, but we're going to connect it. Because remember we talked about removing hair? Well, removing hair isn't just an Isser when it comes to these particular laws of mourning the dead, but also on Shabbos. It's an Isser of presumably Gozes, I believe it is. So for one to remove skin, to remove hair, so you're not allowed to share your sheep on Shabbos, take the wool off. Likewise, you're not allowed to remove your own skin on Shabbos or hair. Tana, Hanota Mali Piyazu B'Shabbos. Someone who removes a hole of the scissor tip on Shabbos is chayim. Now, how much is that? It's a very odd measurement. Well, I'm glad you asked. The Kama Mali Piyazug, how much is a Piyazug? On Rabbi Yehuda, Shtayim, two hairs. Ay, Batanya, Latarcha Shtayim. But wait a minute. How can you say the shear over here for violating the Isser of removing hair on Shabbos two hairs? We have another Bryce that said, what's the shear for removing hair of a bald spot to make you chayiv? Two hairs. The implication of that Bryce is that only when it comes to this particular law of karcha am I chayiv when I remove two hairs. And no other area of halacha, not in Hilchos Shabbos, not anywhere else.
Wouldn't you already Well, that would be
muksa.
Yeah.
But that'd only be midrabanan. This would be like iser doraisa. But you're right. You know, like it's you're gonna see in the next Mishnah, right? We're gonna have the next Mishnah, but soon we're gonna have Mishnayos that talk about, you know, violating one iser after another iser, and we see this in the Gemara already. So yeah, why not? In Hachinami or Yisur, you know, pile it on. So the answer is quite simple. You have to read it as, and also when it comes to the laws of not bolding yourself, the halacha is that the minimum is two hairs. Okay. So Toby, it's like we talked about in our Thursday morning class this morning about how all areas of halacha, you'll find connections between them. It's a beautiful example about Hilchos Shabbos and the issue of bolding oneself, of karcha, is two completely separate areas of halacha, seemingly nothing to do with each other, but here they have the same guiding principles, underlying principles. All of Torah connect.
Did you define what pizug is?
It's something like the tip of a how much your scissors like I think would take off at the tip. I think that's the. But okay. I mean, that was the question to Gemara. How do you quantify that? So we quantify it as two hairs. So that's a very small amount.
I'm saying, but so. They quantify. Where do we learn it's two hairs? Where do we learn the quantity from?
So that was Rabbi Yehuda's elucidation. So Rabbi Yehuda had a teaching, a Masorah, that a pi hazug referred to two hairs. What was it?
Right, it's not from a pasuk or anything.
Right. Either from his own logic or he had a mesorah for it. Old says in the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim. So Rabbi Yehuda believed that that was two hairs. Whether he got that from his Rebbe or whether he deduced that on his own because he had a pair of scissors and tested it out on his own, that's where he got it from. I mean, it's also logical for one to say that because, again, if we're assuming that these areas of halacha are operating on the same principles, it would make sense that they would line up on these issues.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you.
Okay, Shkoach, thank you for helping us clarify that. Okay, now let's see, where did I just leave off? Tani Nami Hachi, we have a brisa that supports this. Hanoto Mali Piazug on Shabbos Chayiv. Someone who cuts a Mali Piazug on Shabbos Chayiv. And again, if a Kama Mali Piazug, right? Maybe Rabbi Yehuda knew this brisa, which told us, Shtayim, the Chachamim say in the brisa, they rule that that's two hairs. Rabbi Eliezer, remember the minority opinion, Rabbi Eliezer says, achas, even just one would be enough to make you chayiv. And here's where things get interesting. This connects to our opening question. This word's from Umodim Chacham Rabbi Eliezer. However, the rabbis would concede to Rabbi Eliezer that even one hair would be problematic when the Malachi Levonos mitok Shchoros afiu achas. When do the rabbis concede that even taking out one hair is an issue? When one is taking white hairs, let's say someone has mostly, you know, dark hair, black hair, brown hair, they still have color, and they start to get gray hair, or white hair, right? So let's say you want to pull out all your white hairs. So that would be an isser, not just on Shabbos, but even on weekdays, because it'd be a violation of the Isser of Lo Yilvash Gever Simlas Isha, that a man shall not wear women's clothing. So if you look in the Gemara Maseches Nazir, Rabbi Eliezer there says, it's not just literally wearing clothing, but actually it's any kind of being nohek, like a woman, would violate this on a Doraisa level, actually. So if a man does something that is considered something that women do, he violates this isser. For instance, what comes up in the literature is looking in a mirror based on the Gemara in Yerushalmi. Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah says, I forgot which Amoraim it was, but there's a dispensation that they are allowed to look in the mirror to groom themselves because they were advocating for the Jewish people in order to look well-groomed in front of all of these non-Jews, because that was what was expected in the court. They were permitted to do it. The implication is, in general, a man is not supposed to be staring in the mirror. Now, you shall note, I think the wording is to be mistakel. Mistakel is not just a quick glance. Mistakel is like, you know, mirror, grooming yourself, and, you know, just keep looking at yourself. So that's something that a woman does. It's not something that a man does. A man does it, they violate the Isser of Lo Yilvash Gever Simlas Isha. It should be noted, there is a opinion of the Chachamim, actually, in the Gemara, which surprisingly we don't paskin like, you know, it's the Chachamim, who say that, no, on a Doraisa level, one only violates his Isser literally by wearing women's clothing. And what this gets into, by the way, is the heart of the issue. What is the issue with a man wearing women's clothing? So I just started going through the sugya. I don't have everything laid out just yet.
This is also something about a woman wearing men's.
Yes, and a woman wearing men's also. So the issue with it, one issue is that by men and women wearing each other's clothing, it creates less of a divide between the genders, and the genders come together and mix, and that leads to impropriety. So that's one concern. But there might just be an intrinsic problem that we men are supposed to be masculine, women are supposed to be feminine, and that's how the Torah wants things. Coming back to Rabbi Bechaye, who said that a man shouldn't shave because it deprives of his masculinity. So as you can imagine, in 21st century America, this is a very fascinating question where the lines between genders become fuzzier by the day. So this will probably be my next big topic that I'm looking into. No promises yet, but it's definitely intrigued me, especially since we got to the Gemara. So don't be surprised if in like a month from now you hear a shiur on it. And I'm thinking I should get it probably out by Purim time, because one of the issues that comes up is cross-dressing on Purim. You know, but it's there's a lot of good makoros. Apparently, there's a tshuva from Moshe Sternbach saying that women shouldn't smoke. Now, he also has a tshuva saying that nobody should smoke, but especially for women. And in fact, there's a question in halach in general on Purim. This all comes up on Purim. That's when it all comes to a head, about if women are chayiv to drink on Purim, right? Because chayiv inishalib sumi b'puria, that a man is supposed to drink. Now, isn't he getting drunk? Isn't he just a little bit so you fall asleep? But the question is, what about women? Are women chayiv? You know, it's inish. Are women chayiv to do it? So
I just take it upon themselves.
Or you volunteer. So it's interesting. Some say,
I think how you both
so nice. So that'd be an argument to do it. But I forgot who it was. But there's a shita nachronim that women dafka shouldn't, because it's not ladylike. So there you have it.
Would that be the same? Is that the same question by Haseba, by the Pesach Seder?
Well, for a seva, I don't think there's anything. I mean, women do. I think Sarah Ma says like every woman tonight is like Isha Chashuba today.
Oh, right.
Yeah, okay. So that's what right. We say. But it's not an issue. It's more of an issue of kavod for the Baal than an issue of like masculinity.
Okay.
So it's interesting. But you know, I need to find sources that could kind of make the argument the other way, maybe with Yosef and Tzadik being more feminine, and that whole, I think, was a Targum Rabbeinu Yonasan, who says that he and I think Dina maybe got swapped in terms of their neshamos, and that's why she was a little bit more masculine, went out into the world. That's how Shechem found her. That's why Yosef was a pretty boy. So there's actually a Targum on that says something to that extent. Okay. Yeah, that's what happens when you go to Bible at YU. You learn all these interesting things. Okay, that's the least of it. Okay, so that's lo yilvash gever simas ish. And we still have the question about the chayal, about the person in the army who is asking the question: do I push off the isser lo yilvash, or am I more concerned about not violating Shabbos? So we'll save that for the end of the Gemara. We need to get through the Gemara first, but now you see where it comes up. Let me just pause for a moment. Are there any questions, anything I can clarify on the Gemara that we've learned until this point? Okay. All right. I did my part. The Hamaki Pastor. So we are done. We are out of Karchavil. We're done talking about being Koreach Hasatzmo, about bolding oneself. And now the next part of the mission is Hamaki Pas Rosh. Right? You ever hear we say my payas. So it's really pay oats. There's I guess maybe it's a Yiddishization of the word, but pa'as rosho, and in plural, peos. So that's what it is. Ma'akiv pa'as rosho. Tanu Rabbanan. Pa'as rosho, sof rosho. What's it mean when we say pa'as rosho? That refers to the end of one's head. Shkayach, what's the end of one's head? Vezo sof rosho. What's the end of one's head? This is someone who shaves all the hair between the back of one's ear and one's forehead. So essentially, what's between my ear and my forehead? Well, that on the side of the temples, that's this area over here. That's the sideburns. This is my chloek is about exactly where the cutoff point is. You know, do you make a circle here for hiddur purposes? I think the Chazon Ish was the one who popularized that, if I'm not mistaken. The idea of like making like a, instead of a cutoff like this, a more circular, adding in even more. I mean, to be honest, if I'm not making this part really short, I'm not going to all of a sudden like make this part of my head really short. That would look very weird. But so that's where it comes from. So it's interesting, actually. You want to know a fascinating shita. So Tosfos and the Rush seem to think, and this is actually how we paskin, that when it comes to one's beard, one can shave it all the way down. But when it comes to payas, there still needs to be a significant amount there. I think, you know, that's why when you go to the barber, they advise don't do less than a two on the payas. Nonetheless, the Rambam holds, no, the same standard we have for one's beard, we have for the payas also. And basically, like say, in theory, if one wanted to, they could, according to the Rambam, they could shave down their payas to the same amount as they would for their beard. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like that, but it's a what we call a collector's eye. It's good to know that such a shita exists. Okay. Tani Tana Kamedir Achista. Echad Hamakif Echad Hanika Floka. One who cuts off someone's payas and one who is nikaf, right? That's nifal. That one who is being having his payas cut off, who's the recipient of this treatment, both of them get malchus. Amar le, ma docho tamre bar bila lucky. What do you mean? Because someone else sinned, I should have to suffer? Meaning the expression is referring to if someone else, like, you know, picked berries on Shabbos and it's in the basket and I eat those berries, to, you know, should I get malchus for the malchus?
Right, so the
barbi. Right, so the question is the person getting the haircut, what did he do wrong? You know, because this guy sinned and cut off my hair, I should have to get malchus also? I didn't do any maisa. You know, even if I was aware, I was like fully aware. I just sat there. I didn't protest. I let him cut off my hair. He was the one who violated the yisur. I didn't violate any yisur. I didn't do any maisa. Especially the question here, by the way, is that usually, even if I did violate something, we say that lav she'ein bo maisa, ein lokin alav, right? It's a classic principle we've seen many times. You have to do a maisa, an action, in order to incur malchus. Literally, by definition, what I'm doing here is not an action. I'm the nika.
Somebody, I am
going to kill. Well, two things. Number one, you would not be put to death for telling me to kill someone because we have a principle in general, because the question is, do I follow the words of the Rebbe or the words of the Talmud? I'm sure God would hold you accountable for it, but the idea is that because I have free will to choose whether I want to listen to you or not, you did not do an action to kill somebody. Now, we do have this issue in halacha that, remember, we talked about someone who is motzi shemra, one who claims that his wife committed infidelity and he full well lied. We say one only violates that once he hires witnesses to lie on his behalf, because we're not going to take his word against her word. He needs to bring witnesses. So there is this notion of me hiring witnesses and then being culpable for what they do. That does exist.
Yeah, but I mean, like with murder, if the person would never have had any inclination to commit murder, except that he wanted to tease me and I told him to do it, how could I just be off the hook?
You would not get misa for you, right? Okay. You do the misa of murder. Now, again, Beis Din always has the recourse of saying this person is a menace to society. Now we machnes also the keeper. We're going to take him and put him into jail. We're going to feed him not so nutritious food and wait until he dies. So if you, you know, I guess, you know, if that's what you want, you put you in jail. If you hire somebody, they still
there must be some halacha gemara that says that.
Right? Oh, yeah, it's gemara in Sanhedrin that says that. We've referenced it a number of times. That we've shown how grown up. You know where we brought that up? We brought that up in a second time when we talked about going into Gullus. So there were cases where you didn't quite reach the threshold to be put to death by Beis Din, but you weren't ignorant enough that you were considered killing the shogun. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have to go to Gullus and he doesn't get killed. Wow, that's a great deal. Well, no, Beis Din could actually put you in this kippah, in this jail, and wait until you die there, which actually might be more.
It's just that it wasn't intentional.
Right, but I'm saying I think Beis Din has the authority to make these decisions. So that's kind of like their elastic clause. That way no one can escape the law through a loophole. But that's a good point. But in general, we said that's the idea of in shlichus l'dvar aveira, the principle that you can't appoint a shlia to do an aveira for you. You can't appoint an agent to do an aveira for you. Because we have a principle of divrei av, divrei tamei bishom. You know, you have free wills. Now that this difference in Bava Kama, when we talk about one's animal, right? If I set up my animal in your field and my animal goes and eats your food, I am liable for that because I set it up that way. You can't say, oh, the animal doesn't have free will. The animal, when it sees food, it eats the food. That is a direct action on my part. But human beings have free will, and that's what comes along with the package. Okay, a good question. Here we go. So let's go forward. Let's go forward. Where are we up to? I lost where I was. Okay, yes. What, should I get Malchus because I eat from something? You're the one who committed sin and picked off the berries. Now, we do have something, by the way, Nidor Avonah called Maisa Shabbos, just to be aware. If someone violates Shabbos, someone makes food on Shabbos, we don't say, oh, you know what? He violated the Isser Bishul, I'm allowed to eat. It doesn't work like that. I'm not allowed to eat from something that someone cooked on Shabbos. That's Nidor Avonah. That's a knas. But on the Raisa level, you in theory, it wouldn't be an issue. So what's the answer? Darmalach, money, well, you know, it's the minority shita. Rabbi Yehuda, he darmalav shimo maisa lokanalav. Rabbi Yehuda says, he's the shita, the minority opinion says that you don't have to do an action to incur malchus. So even though you didn't do any deed, by permitting him to shave you, you get malchus. However, we don't want to just tag this onto a minority sheet of Rabbi Huda. We want to make this work for everybody, right? We want unity and Shalom Yisrael. Rav Omer b'makif la'atzno. What's Rav say? This case of Echad HaMakif, Echad HaMikaf Loka, that both the shaver and the recipient of the shave get malchus, is actually talking about the same person. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is that when I shave myself, I get two sets of malchus. One for doing the action and one for being the recipient of that action. That's the chiddush that the Bryce is teaching us. And this works whether you hold Lav Shiva Maisa Lokanalav or not. So you don't need Rabbi Yehuda. Likewise, Ravashi Omer, Misayeah, Dibrakol. Likewise, this word according to everybody that it's a case of Misayeah. What's it mean, Misayeah? Instead of me just being completely passive, it's a case where as you're shaving, he's like, oh, do you mind if you like turn a little bit to the left over here? And you're kind of helping him, making it easy for him, like showing him, here's my hair over here, come and shave it. So then you are responsible for that, right? Rashi says, Mazmin Hasaros Lamaki. He's basically like inviting him in. Here's the Saros, come, he's preparing it for him to come in and to cut it off. Okay. But Mash is passed off. Let's go to the next section.
Just one question. So do we know the difference between the peyote and the beard? Do we know where one begins and one ends?
Yeah, it's a bit of a machlokes, but essentially kind of like where the ear ends around the cheekbone area. So there's different shitas actually. Let me show you for a moment just for edification. I have actually a diagram with three different opinions. The ear and the sifta go on. And I don't know if the arts were losing the photos, but
maybe somewhere else.
Maybe like a newer version of it. So here is a good okay. I had a version of this, you know, that one of these pages is here it is. See it? Well, okay, there's different shitas, but essentially we zoom around the cheekbone is where the lower end is, and then I just close this. I had the photo for a moment. And then the upper end, see the diagram over here. You can see it. So this is where they, can you see over here the picture?
Yeah. You can't, it's too small to.
Shoot me an email and I'll send out a diagram of it if you're curious to see. Again, in these. And he's from places like in the five towns where you go to get your haircuts. They have like these special charts that are up there that tell you precisely where the cutoff point is. So, yeah, it gets very technical and nitty gritty, but that's what it is.
So just one more clarification. Yeah. So the idea that both the barber and the barbie get malchus in this instance.
Hold on.
Well, it makes sense though. So I don't understand. So when you say that the answer is we're talking about a case where he did the it's the same guy who shaves himself. So if the guy shaved himself, we learn from here that he gets two sets of malchus, right?
Yeah.
That was the maskona. That was the right.
That was there's three answers. One answer was, yep, the guy who's the barbie gets malchus because you don't need to do an action, but that only works according to Rabbi Yehuda. The second opinion is what you just said, which is Rava. Rava said that it's just coming to teach us that you violate two Isurim. And then number three is that, no, it's the cases we assumed it was all along. There's the barber, the barbie, and the barbie actually is doing a Maisa if he does, like, you know, he's like, yep, right over here, and helps the barber perform the Maisa by being Misayea, by aiding him, even though he himself is not the one shaving off the hair. By him aiding the barber, he is complicit, and therefore he's considered to be performing a Maisa of sorts. It's a deed which incurs Malchus. That's the...
I forgot what the question was, actually. Now that I know the answers, I'm trying to... What was the question?
Okay, let me go ahead. So the question is simply, we had an earlier statement. We had a Bryce that said, Echad ha-makev ve-echad ha-nikav lokeh. Whether you are the barber, whether you are the barbie, you get Malchus. That was right. The earlier statement from the Tanaim. But we said, how do we make sense of this statement? Because why would the person who's passive, the barbie, why would the barbie get Malchus if he didn't do an action? Generally, we assume you need to do a Maisa. You need to do an action or incur Malchus. And that's when we get these three answers.
Okay.
So good. Very good. Thank you for helping me clarify that.
You got it.
Okay. All right, so let's get through the Gemara. Here we go. Bamash's pasikno. What's it mean when one destroys the edge of his beard? Tanarabanan pa'as zikno, so zikno. Shkoyach again, what's the end of my beard considered? This is so zikno, shibolas zikno, which the shibolas is kind of, I think, toward the chin area where it thins out. So that's the end of one's beard. We figure out geographically where that is. Great. The Masari Tridakas, now we're at the final category. So again, we had bolding oneself, shaving their hair in their payas area, one shaving the hair of their beard. We'll come back to the beard later next week. And now we're up to the final category of Srita, of lacerating oneself. And again, unlike shaving one's beard and shaving one's payas, Srita, lacerations, is the same category, certain degree, as Karcha, as making a bold spot, in that both of them are only usur when you do it due to the death of someone. Because that's what the pagan practice was. So here we go. I mean, there's different opinions. Why is problematic, some Rishon say, because it shows a lack of faith in God, because you believe in the afterlife, and you can be mournful, but not that mournful. So there's different Rishon and him explaining why it might be. So pagan practice is only one of the opinions. Tanarabanan, Vesarat Yoch, Vesarat, I would say, you know, why dafka on a dead person? I would think if I lacerate myself due to me losing my house or due to a ship sinking at sea, I also should be chayav on such a laceration. Tamalomar linefesh. Why say in a pasuk for a soul? Very clear. Eino chayav ela ames bilvad. Only when you're mourning over a soul, a departed soul, do you violate this iser? Okay, now two more derivations. How do I know, like the Mishnah taught us, that if I lacerate myself five times for one person, and chayv for each and every time? Why do I have to say visarat? I think you used the lashon srita twice. Right, but no, it didn't use it twice. What is the extra part over here?
It's the phrasing.
The way it was phrased? Right, what would the alternative be?
According to Asher, it could have said...
The Matzi Amichtav L'Nefesh L'Sisra 2, but Makom V'Sar L'Nefesh L'Sitnu. Okay, I see in Rashi.
V'Sar L'Nefesh
L'Sitnu. It didn't say in plural, it said in singular. Okay, good.
Right.
So because it says Vesar and not Vesir 2, it says it in singular, L'chaivakol Srita Srita. It teaches that for each and every individual Srita, I will be chayiv on each and every one of them. Good. Finally, final derivation. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Minayel Misari Srita Achas Alhei Misichu Chayiv Al Achas V'Achas. How do I know that if I lacerate myself one time, but for five different people, I'm chayiv for each and every person that I did it for, right? You know, like I make a kelmale, I put in five names, and I lacerate myself. Tamalomar, l'nefesh, from the word l'nefesh, l'chayev akol nefesh v'nefesh, and teaching that l'chayev for each and every soul that I am mourning over when I lacerate myself. I'm chayev for each and every one. But what's the issue? Wait a minute. We have a rule. You can't just use the same word to teach us two things. There has to be something novel over here. We already use the word l'nefesh to teach me that you have to be mourning over a human being, not over something else. So how can I use the word l'nefesh also to teach me that I'm chai for each and every nefesh I'm mourning over? You're using one word to teach you multiple drushas. That's a big no-no. Only one drusha per thing. So, Kesavar Rav Yossi, what does Rav Yossi reason? Srito Gedida writes as Losis Godedu. We talked about this between Mincha Amar Simchas Torah. We talked about Losis Godedu. Now, Losis Godedu is more famous because of the Drasha Chazal made. Losasu Agudos Agudos. You shouldn't make multiple agudos, right? You should make multiple agudos shaloms or agudos yisraels, whatever it is. It means that you shouldn't, there should be unity of practice in halacha. But what it literally means, which we're going with the literal meaning over here, is that one shouldn't make a gash. So srito gedida, gashes, lacerations, they're all referring to the same thing. Srito gedida achasi. Uksiv hasam lemeis. It already mentions in the context of losis godedu, You shouldn't make a gash over someone who died. So we can see, right? It says, so I already know from the fact this is in the context of losis godedu, don't do it over a mace. I don't need the word lenefesh to teach me that specifically when I'm mourning a mace, someone who died, that I violate this iser. Therefore, the word lenefesh is now open for a different drasha, and we plug it in to teach us that you're chayv for each and every individual that you have in mind when you make that laceration.
So this is not where the prohibition
is. Ksovas kaka, well, I think the psukim are right here. Ksovas kaka in Vayikra. Where's Kesovas Kaka? I think I remember. Aren't they close to each other in the Pesukim? You're about to go right here, right? Because I remember in the context of idolatrous practices, you have Kesovas Kaka, and you have maybe it's, you know what? It's not Los Skoda. Maybe it's next to the issue of shaving. Oh no, right here. Look in Torah or Shalim, right here. Vayikra Yutes Chavches. The seret lenefesh lo sitnu v'sarchem, ksovas kaka lo sitnu v'chem. I mean, literally the same pasuk, a tattoo. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, ksovas kaka is a tattoo. Yeah. It's literally the same pasuk, right? What was that? Right. So literally in the same pasuk. So this supports the idea that tattoos and lacerations were all pagan practices. Again, one could just understand this as in general. It says, right, it says that we're supposed to be banim la'ashem elokeichem, banim atem la'adonai la'heichem, that maybe this has to do with the idea of us being children of God, and we shouldn't harm our bodies and mutilate ourselves. But, I mean, it seems that it's coming again. It's like anti-pagan practices, which was what the priests would do. Okay, we're almost at the end. Amar Shmuel, I'm a sorry b'kli chayev. Someone who lacerates themselves with a kli, with a utensil, is chayev. I need to fill in a little bit between the lines of Rashi. It means you're chayev two times. One for srita and one for gedida. One for lacerations, one for gashes. So now the question is, mesfe, srita gedida achasi, srita v'yad gedida kli. Srita is done, what's the difference between srita and gedida? Srita refers to harming yourself with your hands, and gedida refers to using a utensil, an implement, to harm yourself. So if I harm myself with a utensil, then I should only be chayv for gedida, not srita, which is done with my hands. So why am I chayv twice then? Oh, interesting. Because you're saying using your hand and a clean one action. Well, the answer might fit with what you're saying. Hudamar Rav Yossi, he holds like Rav Yossi. What's Rav Yossi say? That srita gedida, again, is all one process in the view of halacha. So when you do that maisa, whether with the hand or not, you are still violating to these, both of these isurim of being so of sirtut as well of kedida. Very good. Let's just cap off one more mini section. We'll just cap off the section here. Tony Tekamid Rav Yochanan. So Bryce was talking before Rav Yochanan. A mace bein bayabe mikli chayav, one who's mourning over the dead, whether they harm themselves with their hands or with a kli, they are chayav. Alvodos kochavim, when it comes to doing for specifically for, it's interesting to Gemara, they distinguish. Alvodos kochavim, for idolatry, biyad chayav mikli patur, you're chayav for using your hands, but not when you use a kli. The Gemara says, v'ibchotzim, v'yiskuru k'mishpatim b'charvus v'rachim. When's the issue of you gashing yourself k'mishpatim, like they do in the other religions, when they use swords and spears to harm themselves? Ella ima b'yad patar b'kli chayim. What makes more sense? When you use your hand to harm yourself, that's not akin to how the pagans would harm themselves, because they would use knives to harm themselves. So only when you use a knife and you actually mimic the pagan practices do you violate this iser. And that brings the end of the Gemara that we're doing for today. So what I'm going to do is just pause for any remaining questions, and then we'll get to the answer that to the question that we opened up with. Does anyone have any questions that I can address? All right. Hopefully, hopefully not too difficult, I would hope. But keeping track of all the shitos and shavatari isn't always the easiest thing. I don't want to minimize that. So let's get back to our question. Remember, what was our question? Our question was, we learned about a very interesting iser tonight called Lo Yilvash. And Lo Yilvash tells us that a man shall not cross-dress. Not only does it mean he shouldn't cross-dress, but he shouldn't do anything that really is what a woman does. Now, how do we define that, right? So, you know, I like playing softball, tennis, and volleyball. I don't like basketball and football. So are those like more women's sports? Am I not allowed to play them, right? So, you know, like, where do you draw the line on these things? That's really the hard thing to do. I'll try to figure it out. One way to draw a line, by the way, is you look in Rashi, by the way. Look in Rashi, Af Bechol Aser, on Chaf in the base, if you can find it, it's kind of a little below the middle. Look at, he says, Shemisna'a Atzmo Benoi Isha. What's the Iser? Dafka, when you are beautifying yourself like a woman does. So they might be more limited in scope. It doesn't mean anything. And like, you know, women like going out for brunch. So if I go out for brunch, have I violated the sister? No, I like brunch. I would go out for brunch if I could. I mean, I'm already up at 5:50 in the morning. So I have very early breakfast. Brunch isn't really a thing I do.
But it's if you have a mimosa. It's if you have the mimosa, then you're violating it.
What's the mimosa?
It's a special cocktail and drink. You don't go to brunch enough.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know these things.
Oh, we know. No.
Yeah, I see.
I've read about it.
You've read about it. I don't know what these things are. Okay. So that's one thing, just to limit the scope. It might be specifically beautifying practice. But that's what these soldiers were doing. They're putting on makeup. So that would still fall within the iser. So what is the answer? The answer really comes to it as follows. It's similar to the shaving question that we had. Is the issue the maisa, the deed, or the totsa, the result? Meaning, is it that I just do a one-time violation when I put on women's clothing? When I put on the clothing, I violate the iser of yilvash, of cross-dressing. And that,
the question was whether to do it before Shabbos.
Yeah, right. So we're going
to.
So we're going to get to the answer. We first have to understand the nature of Yilvash, and we can answer the question. Or do I say the Isser of Yilvash is actually based on the Totsa, the result? In other words, every second that I am wearing the clothing, I am violating another Isser. In fact, based on the Minchas Chinuch, he quotes, Shekosa Shem Hasru Bakama Pamim, let's say, and we have this case, it's going to come momentarily with a Nazir. Let's say every moment, Adam come over me and say, you know, there's an Iser of Lo Yilvash, you'll get Malchus if you violate. You say, Aval Pekin, I'm still going to wear this woman's clothing, I get Malchus. And then they come back and they say, you know, there's an Iser called Lo Yilvash, you get Malchus if you wear this, Aval Pekin, I get another Malchus. How can I keep getting Malchus over it? Well, if we assume it's not a one-time action, that's the Iser, but it's the constant wearing of it, keeping it on me, that's the problem. Then I'm constantly finding Iser after Iser every single, it's like wearing, I think Shotness is a good analogy for this. He has to bring up, he brings up Shotness, yes. He brings up Klein. So what is the answer? He says, Hari Barsh Lo Regashi Shob Bidi Gever, Chayeves Gam Al Hashikia, Lohor Hodim Itishol Yibash Gever Sanas Isha. There's his answer. They came the chora kasher ish hatzavad sarf yosavua bivokro shel yom shavs kodesh yeshol litzvoa es atmo kidisha rak v'shoshit starukah bolif nekein. So if we assume it's a constant israel that he's violating, so then you would only do lo yovash on Shabbos itself. If it's a one-time israel, it doesn't matter if I do it on Friday, really. It doesn't matter if I do it on Shabbos. I have to do the israel at some point, so I may as well do lo yilvash before Shabbos, so I don't have to also violate Shabbos as well. But if it's a totsah, it's a constant, every second I'm wearing it, I'm violating the Isser over and over again, then if I wear it before Shabbos, before I'm in a state of bikuach nefesh, then it's not going to help my case. I might avoid being mechal Shabbos, but I'm violating lo yilvash for a lot more time than I would be otherwise.
But what's worse? Violating Shabbos once, or you'll
by the time of Shabbos, in the morning, it's just a booker. You're now in a situation of pikuach nefesh. So, in which case, the it's a whole different situation. Before Shabbos, you're not yet in a
very good, very good situation. Yes. So, what Henry raised then is we got more into Shuba right here. Is but who says you have the right to make that calculation? You aren't yet in a makom sakana. You're not yet in a case of, in a situation because of nefesh. You don't have the right to make that decision. You don't have the right to supersede the yobash before Shabbos if you're not in a makom sakana yet. So who are you to make this calculus? Rather, what you're supposed to do is wait till the makom sakana happens and then violate Shabbos. You can't preemptively violate the Yisra. Because then it's pikuach nefesh. All right, very good. Yashar koach, everyone. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you for coming. All right, good night, everyone.